Ahoy there, and welcome aboard for a deep dive into the world of pirates. If you're listening to this, you're probably ready to separate fact from fiction, and boy, I got a feeling we're in for some serious treasure, you know, the knowledge kind of course. Some cool sources today, like this pirate gift guide, you know, talking about romanticized imagery and all, and then this historical overview to make sure we don't get too carried away.
That's a great combination of sources you've got there. Yeah, I think that's going to let us really dive into those big myths right away. I mean, just glancing through this gift guide, it's all, you know, sailing the seas and freedom. But the reality of being a pirate back then was probably pretty different, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, who doesn't love the idea of pirates as these totally lawless rogues? It's appealing. But you know what I don't get? What about these privateers? Were they really pirates? I mean, really?
It's a good question. It's a question that really kind of blurs the lines. So they had these things called letters of marque. Basically, they were official documents from governments that gave them permission to raid ships during wartime, you know, enemy ships.
So basically, they were like state-backed pirates. I mean, can you imagine, like, having a document from your government that makes plundering legal? It's just wild.
Yeah, it's kind of a mind-blowing concept, right? And it really makes you think about what piracy was all about. Was it purely personal gain? Or were these guys just pawns in some bigger game, you know, like tools for powerful empires?
Right. I mean, I guess it could be both, couldn't it? Mm-hmm. The privateers obviously profited, but their governments definitely benefited too. It's almost like they were using these so-called lawless pirates to advance their own agendas.
Oh, absolutely. It shows how, you know, how power really works, right? Like, yeah. What seems chaotic and lawless can actually be very calculated.
Yeah, talk about a moral gray area. I mean, it definitely makes you think about how history is never really black and white, is it? But you know what? We gotta be honest here. Those classic pirate symbols, the Jolly Roger, the cutlasses, I mean, they're just cool. Even this gift guide is full of them.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Those symbols are undeniably cool. It's just important to remember what they meant to the people back then. Like the Jolly Roger, right? The one with the skull and crossbones. It wasn't just a cool design. It was supposed to scare the living daylights out of any sailor who saw it. Like, hey, we're pirates and we're coming for you.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's easy to romanticize it all. Yeah. But let's be real for a second. Pirate life was rough. Disease storms, battles. I mean, come on. That's a far cry from the treasure-filled adventures we imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. And yet there's something about those symbols and the whole pirate lifestyle that still kind of grabs us, doesn't it? Why do you think that is? Why are we still so fascinated by pirates after all these centuries? What do you think?
That's a good question. You know what I think it is? It's that idea of freedom, of just saying, screw it to society's rules. They were like the ultimate rebels, you know what I mean? Yeah. Living life on their own terms, even if it meant facing danger and uncertainty, they didn't care.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. That image of self-reliance and just pure defiance, yeah, it's definitely appealing. You know, but here's the thing. This idea of pirates as just totally lawless individuals might not be the whole story. I mean, we talked about privateers, but what about the structure within the pirate crews themselves? What do you think about that?
Wait a minute, are you talking about like democratic pirate crews? That just seems so counterintuitive, right?
I know, right? Mm. But it's true. A lot of these crews actually operated in a pretty democratic way. They'd vote for their captains, make decisions as a group, and even split the loot fairly. Crazy, right?
Wow. So it wasn't all just about some tyrannical captain barking orders. Were there any actual examples of this actually working?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The Pirate Republic of Nassau in the Bahamas, that's a classic example. They had their own laws, a whole system of government, even a kind of social insurance. It makes you wonder how these systems worked so well in that kind of environment. You know what I mean?
It's mind-blowing. No. They were plundering and having high seas adventures, and at the same time, they had democracy and cooperation.
Wow.
It's just so unexpected.
Yeah, it really challenges our assumptions about pirates. It kind of makes you think, if you were a pirate back then, would you rather have a democratic crew or a tyrannical captain? What do you think?
That's a tough one. I guess it would depend on the captain's personality, right? Maybe somewhere. All right. Hey, you know what else I noticed? This gift guide focuses so much on like the traditional, you know, the male pirate image.
Yeah.
But I bet there's more to the story, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. History shows us that women were a part of the pirate world, too. They defied all those social norms and made their own way on the high seas. Pretty cool, huh?
Female pirates.
Right.
Wow. Tell me more. It must have taken some serious guts to break into that world. It was totally dominated by men.
Oh, absolutely. Figures like Anne Bonny and Mary Read, they disguised themselves as men to join pirate crews. They were tough, proving their skills in a super dangerous environment. They really challenge that stereotypical pirate image, you know what I mean?
No kidding. Can you imagine the courage it took to just say, forget it, all those expectations, and just embrace the pirate life? It's incredible. It really makes you wonder how many other amazing female pirates are out there just waiting to be rediscovered.
Right. It's a fascinating thought, and it just shows how much more diverse the world of piracy really was than we often give it credit for.
Okay, so let's recap for a second. We've got these fearless female pirates breaking barriers, democratic pirate crews turning everything we thought we knew about leadership upside down, and these state-sponsored privateers blurring the lines between what's legal and what's not. It seems like everything we thought we knew about pirates is being flipped on its head.
You got it. And speaking of flipping things on their head, get ready for one of the biggest misconceptions of all. Treasure. This gift guide is all about treasure chests and buried riches. But historically speaking, it's a little different.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that most pirates didn't actually bury their treasure?
Exactly. I know it's a classic image, right? Pirates burying their loot, marking the spot with an X. But honestly, most of them spent it all pretty lavishly.
So where did the whole buried treasure thing come from? I mean, it's such a classic part of pirate lore. Okay. How did that happen?
Well, it seems like we can thank writers like Robert Louis Stevenson for that. You know, Treasure Island. They kind of romanticized the pirate lifestyle. They created these tales of buried treasure that really captured the imagination, and those stories just stuck with us. They still influence how we see pirates today.
So even though the golden age of piracy is long gone, the idea of buried treasure, all thanks to those fictional stories, it still lives on. It's kind of funny how stories can shape our understanding of history, right?
Yeah, for sure. It goes to show you the power of a good story. But, hey, let's not forget, there were some real pirates out there who amassed crazy wealth and had fearsome reputations. Like the infamous Blackbeard.
Oh, yeah. Blackbeard. You say that name and everyone pictures a scary dude with those lit fuses woven into his beard. It sounds more like Hollywood than actual history. Mm. Is that real?
It sounds crazy, but it's true. Blackbeard, his real name was Edward Teach. He was a master of theatrics. He really understood the power of psychology. He used all these intimidation tactics to make himself seem even more menacing. He'd freak his enemies out before they even set foot on his ship.
That's incredible. I can't even imagine facing him in battle with all that smoke billowing from his beard. Must have been terrifying to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He wasn't just a physical threat. He knew how to use fear to his advantage. And you know what makes you wonder? How much of his reputation was built on actual violence versus the fear that he created through his image?
It's a good point. It shows how much perception matters, especially in a world where your reputation could mean life or death. Speaking of treasure, though, let's talk about something a little more tangible. Doubloons.
Doubloons. Those Spanish gold coins, they're practically the symbol of pirate treasure. But they were more than just shiny loot. They were a big part of the global economy back then.
Really? So there's more to doubloons than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah, for sure. These coins were like the lifeblood of the colonial economy. They represented all that wealth flowing from the Americas back to Europe. Pirates were crazy about them, and their circulation had a real impact on trade all over the world.
It's amazing to think about these coins passing through so many hands. Conquistadors, merchants, pirates, each one must have had its own unique journey. I mean, can you imagine holding a doubloon in your hand? What stories could it tell?
It's like holding a piece of the past, right? It connects you to a time when pirates roamed the seas and fortunes were made and lost. But it also reminds us that piracy wasn't just about adventure and personal gain. It had these broader economic consequences that rippled throughout the world.
That's so true. We've been talking about pirates and treasure, but we can't forget about the impact they had on global trade. It wasn't all fun and games.
Exactly. Piracy disrupted everything. It messed up trade routes, drove up costs for merchants, and forced nations to pour tons of money into their navies. The economic toll was huge.
So while we might be drawn to those stories of pirate treasure and daring escapes, we have to remember that piracy had a real and lasting impact on the world's economy. It's way more complex than just the romanticized version.
Yeah, it really is. It highlights why it's so important to look beyond those stereotypes and really dig into the historical reality of piracy. It was a world of adventure, for sure, but also danger, intrigue, and consequences that are still felt today.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our pirate deep dive, but there's still so much more to explore.
Oh, yeah. In part two, we're going to delve even deeper into the social structures of pirate crews, the motivations behind their actions, and what factors eventually led to the decline of piracy. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our Pirate Deep Dive. Last time we were talking about how piracy really messed with the world's economy, and it got me thinking, how did everyone react? Like, do they just let these pirates run wild?
Well, not exactly. You know, as piracy got more and more common, it started causing problems for international trade. It forced countries to figure out how to deal with it. And one of the biggest things that came out of it was maritime insurance.
Maritime insurance? That sounds kind of fancy for pirate times. How did that work?
Well, think about it. Back then, sending a ship full of valuable stuff across the ocean was risky business, especially with pirates lurking everywhere. So merchants and ship owners needed some way to protect themselves financially, you know, just in case their ship got attacked or captured. That's where maritime insurance came in.
So it was like a bet. The merchants bet their ship would make it, and the insurance guys bet it wouldn't.
Yeah, kinda. It was all about managing risk. Merchants would pay a fee to the insurers, and if their ship or cargo got lost because of pirates, they'd get paid back. It meant that trade could keep going, even with all the danger.
Wow, that's pretty clever. Who knew that pirates would accidentally help create such a complicated financial system?
It's funny how things work out, right? It just shows that piracy wasn't just about adventure and loot. It really impacted how global trade and finance developed.
True, true. But even the best parties have to end sometime. So what finally led to the decline of all this pirate craziness? Did everyone just decide to be good citizens all of a sudden?
Huh. Not quite. One of the biggest factors was that powerful countries like England and France finally decided they'd had enough. Piracy was hurting their economies and they needed to stop it.
So they cracked down and spoiled all the fun.
Pretty much. They started spending way more money on their navies, more warships, more patrols, and they really went after those pirates. Being a pirate was getting way too risky and not as profitable.
Yeah, I bet that made things a lot tougher for all those wannabe pirates out there.
Definitely. The golden age of piracy started to fade away as the authorities took control of the seas. A lot of pirates ended up captured and executed while others decided to call it quits. Some even got pardons from the government. Can you believe that?
Wow, so it's basically the cops showing up and the party dying down, huh?
Yeah, basically.
As the threat of pirates went down, the need for expensive patrols and insurance went down, too. It marked a new era. You know, more rules, more regulations.
It's kind of sad to think about the end of the golden age of piracy. All those stories of adventure and those swashbuckling characters, it's also captivating. Why do you think we're still so obsessed with pirates centuries later? What do you think?
It's a good question. You know, maybe it's that sense of mystery and the unknown. Back then, the world was this huge uncharted place and pirates were out there exploring it. It's like they had this freedom that we can only dream of.
It's like those adventure books we read as kids. Those pirate ships sailing off into the sunset, escaping from ordinary life. It's romantic in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it speaks to that desire we all have for freedom and independence. Pirates represent this idea of breaking free from the rules, living life on your own terms.
It's like they found a way to escape from all the restrictions of society, even if it meant facing danger and uncertainty.
And that idea, even if it's a little romanticized, is pretty powerful. It makes you question everything. The rules, the system we live in. Like maybe there's another way to do things, a different path.
Yeah, like pirates offer this glimpse into another reality, a world where anything seems possible. But how much of that is real and how much is just our imagination, you know, influenced by all those stories and movies?
That's the big question, right? With pirates, it's hard to separate history from myth. I mean, we've seen that some of the romantic ideas were actually true, like the Democratic pirate cruise. But a lot of what we think about pirates has been shaped by stories passed down through generations.
So how do we reconcile the real history of pirates with this powerful myth that surrounds them? I mean, do we even need to?
I think the key is to embrace both sides. We can accept that there was violence and brutality in their lives, but also appreciate the spirit of adventure, the rejection of authority, that desire for freedom that their stories represent. It's about seeing history in all its complexity and understanding why these stories still resonate with us today.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's about the nuances, you know, the gray areas.
Yeah.
And the lessons we can learn from the past, even if those lessons come from pirates.
Exactly. And maybe the biggest lesson is that humans are incredibly resilient and adaptable. Pirates faced incredible challenges, but they found ways to survive, even thrive.
Mm-hmm.
They created their own systems of government and social order. Pretty inspiring, right?
Totally. It shows that even in the face of adversity, we can innovate, find our own way, and create something meaningful.
Mm.
Who knew that learning about pirates could be so thought-provoking?
It just goes to show you history is full of surprises, and that the most fascinating stories often come from those who dared to be different.
Well said. I think that's a perfect way to wrap up this part of our deep dive. But don't worry, there's more to come.
You bet. In the final part of our journey, we'll be exploring the lasting legacy of pirates and what their stories can teach us about ourselves and the world we live in today.
Oi there, mateys. Welcome back for the grand finale of our pirate deep dive. We've come a long way, haven't we? From treasure chests and Jolly Rogers to something a bit deeper, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing how much we've uncovered, isn't it? I mean, we've gone from those romanticized images to the nitty-gritty of privateering, democratic pirate crews, even the economic impact they had. It's like pirates were way more complex than we give them credit for.
No kidding. And that's what makes this deep dive so interesting, right?
Yeah.
We're not just listing off historical facts. It's more like we're wrestling with these big ideas, you know, freedom, power, rebellion, that kind of stuff.
You got it. And it's all wrapped up in this powerful myth that we still can't get enough of, even today.
The pirate myth. What do you mean by that?
Well, just think about it for a second. The image of the pirate, it's become so much more than just a historical figure. It's like an archetype, you know? This symbol of freedom, adventure, sticking it to the man. We see it everywhere. In movies, books, even how we talk.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, you talk about pirating music and software and call businesses disruptive. Like, it's a good thing. It's like the pirate spirit, at least in a way, never really died.
Exactly. And that shows you how strong this myth really is. It taps into something inside all of us, you know, that desire for something more, a life less ordinary, a yearning to be free to make your own choices.
Yeah, like they represent the ultimate escape, ditching society and its rules and living life on your own terms. Even if it means facing danger head on.
And that idea, even if it's a bit romanticized, it's powerful stuff. It makes you question the rules, the system we live under. Like, maybe there's another way, a different path to take.
It's like pirates give us a peek into this alternate reality.
Yeah.
Where anything's possible.
Yeah.
But how much of that is based on actual history? And how much is just our imagination running wild thanks to all those stories and movies?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? With pirates, it's tricky to separate fact from fiction. I mean, we've seen that some of those romantic notions had some truth to them, like the democratic pirate crews. But a lot of what we picture when we think pirate, it's been shaped by how those stories have been told and retold for centuries.
So how do we make sense of it all then? The real history and the myth that's grown around it. Do we have to choose one or the other?
Nah, I don't think so. I think the best way is to appreciate both sides. Acknowledge the dark stuff, the violence that was definitely part of pirate life, but also recognize that spirit of adventure, the rejection of authority, the desire for freedom that their stories embody. It's about understanding how messy history really is and how those narratives still speak to us even now.
That makes sense. It's about those gray areas, you know, and the lessons we can learn from the past. Even those lessons come from pirates.
Absolutely. And maybe the biggest takeaway is that humans are incredibly resilient. Pirates faced unbelievable dangers, but they found ways to not just survive, but to actually create their own systems of government social order. Pretty amazing when you think about it.
Totally. It's like a reminder that even when things are tough, we can still find ways to innovate, to blaze our own trail, to make something meaningful out of it all. Who knew we'd get so philosophical talking about pirates?
It just goes to show you history is full of surprises and that the most compelling stories often come from those who dared to break the mold.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's the perfect place to drop anchor on our pirate adventure. Thanks so much for guiding us through this incredible journey. It's been a blast.
The pleasure was all mine. And to all you landlubbers out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. May you always keep that pirate spirit alive and chart your own course in life and in the pursuit of knowledge. Fair winds and following seas.